Shel Anderson's a botanist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology, or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome back, Shel.
Hi.
Well, those little brown birds creeping up the trees are indeed creepers.
Yeah, if there was anything that could give a good feeling to the word creep, I would say that it's the brown creeper. It is a remarkable little bird, like so many birds are. And even though they're not a rare bird, I just don't feel like I see them very much. But I see them in the spring. And I suppose that's just because there's birds moving through and hanging around a little bit versus just one that might be there all summer. And there's no leaves on. And so I might have a better shot at seeing, because they're really well camouflaged. Mm-hmm. If you're not familiar with brown creepers, they're maybe a little bit bigger than a nuthatch, but they're brown and buff streaked birds. Their heads are mostly this milky brown, but they have a buff streak right above their eye that's pretty prominent, and they're kind of a lanky bird. So sort of streamlined in shape, and then they have this slender down curving bill that is a real giveaway as to what you're looking at. And there's good reasons for all that, including the spike that they have in their tail. I would say they have a spiky tail. So they, like woodpeckers, they have a stiffness to their tail and their tail feathers. And all of those aspects of it are a part of this really distinctive behavior, which is often what is the initial clue that they're around. If you're not familiar with their voice or don't hear one, it'll be this something that looks like a piece of bark, actually, moving in a spiral up the tree trunk or out on a big limb up higher in the tree. And that is their feeding behavior. They're in a group of birds that are referred to as gleaners, which is about how they go about looking for food, which is that they are gleaning primarily insects from under and around and in the furrows of bark on trees. And they do this very distinctive pattern, spiral pattern. They start near the base of a tree, typically, and they just spiral up, gleaning as they go, poking and prodding and probing with their slender bill into all the little crevices and cracks and furrows and behind loose bark, looking for all types of insects and their larvae and eggs. And I guess I've read that they eat or that they burn about anywhere from 4 to 5 kilocalories, I guess would be more accurate, in a day. So this is pretty small compared to what you and I supposedly need, 2,000 or so. But a spider, so something the size that they might take, so it wouldn't be a great big spider, it would be a small thing that would hide under the bark of a tree or something, is worth about 200 vertical feet to them. So if you think about moving up these tree trunks over and over and over again in the course of a day of foraging, you need to pick up biter, its equivalent, quite a few times in order to keep that up. So anyway, they're here now. They have the males are the ones that do most of the singing, and they principally sing when they're on their territory. They sing kind of have a piercing call, which can be, giveaway. It's kind of I would describe it as kind of a jumble of very high notes. And some of the notes I know are not within the range even of some human hearing. So they can be hard for people to hear, but they are distinctive once you learn them, and can be a clue, that they're around and help you find them. The males, of course, are attracting mates. They do a lot of singing around their mates and circular flights around mates that they're females that they're courting. And once they set up a territory, the females are the main nest builder, and the male sings and brings nesting materials to the female. And they build their nests are kind of a hammock shaped affair, oftentimes behind a piece of loose bark. So they're often nesting on dead or dying trees where bark is being sloughed off. They're older trees with bigger trunks, flaky bark, or very furrowed bark that starts to come off. But they can also build their nests in quite unusual locations too. I'm pretty sure we had one build a nest one year in a coil of hemp rope that was hanging outside under an eave of a shed. Anyway, the female uses wood fibers like twigs and bark strips, and she glues those together and to whatever the surface is that she's building the nest on, using insect cocoons and spider egg cases. You know how they're those fibrous material that those are typically made out of, and they easily grab and hold on to things like wood fibers or the bark of a tree. So they use that to hold their frame together of wood fibers. And then they use hair and feathers and moss and lichen and all kinds of things to build out the rest of the nest, maybe 2 inches deep and up to 6 inches across. And then I guess this would be really fun to actually see, but apparently someone has observed it. They'll take materials that they put into the lower part of the nest and later on pull them up and put them in the upper part of it to build the actual cup of the nest, so maybe some of the softer materials. So it's sounds like it's a fairly complicated construction project, and it takes a couple weeks, I guess, from what I've read, for the female to put it all together. So the creepers will be with us for the summer, and we can be out there listening and hoping to hear their songs or see their very habitual behavior going up and down, up the trees. Sometimes, one time I even saw one pass a nuthatch that was going down the tree. So unlike the nuthatches, which go both up and down, the creepers hardly ever go down because they have these spiky tails that mm-hmm. help support them, and they have their feet are kind of, they kind of take a sturdy stance as they go. And when they hop with both feet, so they have nice curved toes that cling to that bark, but they hop with both feet, so their heads kind of dip after every hop as they go up around the tree. But I saw one time pass a nuthatch that was going the other way. They didn't seem to have any problem getting along on the tree.
Jill Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods. Thanks for helping us understand brown creepers.
You're welcome.